Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and my co-host, Christy, is here. Say hi, Christy.
Hello, everybody.
Tonight, we have a really exciting show. Our subject is Bigfoot, and we have a long-time, highly respected Bigfoot researcher. His name is William Green, and we're going to be talking to him in just a few seconds. But first, I want to give you some Bigfoot news. Since that's the subject tonight, I thought that's what we would concentrate on, about 5 minutes of some recent Bigfoot activity. Now, just in case people don't know, Bigfoot is seen around the world, and it's got a lot of different names. Now, Christy, I'm sure you could name a couple of them, but I bet you had no idea there's like more than 100. Here, let me just give you a couple of them. In Borneo, they call it Batutut. In Scotland, the Big Gray Man. In Guyana, it's called Didi. China, it's called Jin Sung. In Japan, it's called Higabon. So, I mean, there's a lot of different names. In the Philippines, Orang Gugu. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing these right. And maybe Bill can tell us more about this. But definitely, it's a worldwide phenomena. And some recent activity actually occurred in Teslin, Yukon. This is up in Canada. And this was in late 2005 when Teslin resident Melvin Harper saw an 8-foot-tall, black, hairy, muscular figure running through the town. And he said it sort of hung out on the edge of the town and started teasing him by making noises and taunting him, which is something I've heard before in these cases.
Who was making the noises?
The Bigfoot was.
Oh.
It was teasing, you know, the residents.
That's very strange. You said that's usual?
Well, yeah, they'll throw rocks at people. They'll do things like this all the time.
Huh.
So another resident there, Roger Smarch, he heard it, and so he went exploring the next day, and he found all this crushed grass and flowers. Huge footprints, and he actually found a tuft of dark hair, which he turned into the Yukon Environmental Department. And they investigated it, said it's not moose, it's not caribou, it's not horse or human or any known primate. They don't know at this point what it is. So that's pretty interesting recent activity. We have more recent activity, which is occurring in Ada, Oklahoma. Now, this is near the Chickasaw National Recreations Area, the Sulphur National Park, and Charles Hallmark says that he encountered a 9-foot-tall figure, and he's been doing a lot of research into this, and he says there's probably about 300 Bigfoot running around in Oklahoma and about 45 in the Sulphur National Park area. And he says he's identified actually 5 different family groups.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't that?
How long has he been doing research for?
You know, it doesn't say, but
that's
apparently
incredible.
For a while. And what's happening just now, in May, is in Funk's Grove, Illinois, the Vielhak family, that's V-I-E-L-H-A-K, they say they've been encountering this Sasquatch for the past year, and the activity has escalated to, you know, a pretty high degree. Tom Vielhak says he saw it first standing by a tree near his house, and it was looking straight at him. And it was not long after that his son, Tom, was driving to the house. This was late at night. It was very dark when something attacked the car and actually scratched it all up.
Oh, my God.
So he's certain it was Bigfoot because they've seen it many times. Turns out the neighbors have seen it. One of the neighbors saw a baby Bigfoot, which is actually pretty rare. I haven't heard a lot about that. But I think they might be attracted to the area because of the maple syrup. There's a maple syrup production going on there. But at any rate, that's some recent Bigfoot activity, and I don't want to waste any more time because I want to get to our guest tonight, who is William Green. He has been researching Sasquatch for more than 18 years now, and based mostly on the East Coast. He's connected with most of the major researchers and is a highly respected name in the field, and I'm just really excited to talk with him tonight. So, how are you doing tonight, Bill? Are you there?
Yep, I'm doing really great, Preston.
great to hear. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the show.
Yeah, I've heard so much about it. I've actually gotten a couple of your UFO books a long time ago when I used to do my newsletter.
Oh, is that right? That's
yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, yeah, how did you get involved in this?
Well, actually, Preston, I read books about Bigfoot and stuff, and the first book I read was Bigfoot All Over the Country by Marion T. Place. And I just started reading all kinds of books about it and articles and newspapers and stuff, and eventually get in touch with all kinds of researchers and stuff, and going on various forums like the Bigfoot forums and ABS forum, all that, and just different kind of Bigfoot forums. And I see a lot of on the internet, I see a lot of Bigfoot stuff for sale, a lot of T-shirts and stuff. And
well, why are you so interested in it?
Well, because the reason why I'm interested is because, well, I feel it's a mystery that needs to be solved.
You know, when I first started researching Bigfoot, people told me, oh, you probably shouldn't even get into that, because I mostly research UFOs. And I thought it was going to tarnish my reputation. And I'm like, no, there's a lot of evidence for this. And so you just focus only on Bigfoot at this point?
Yeah, I do.
So, what name do you prefer to call this? I mean, you call yourself a Sasquatch researcher as opposed to Bigfoot?
Yeah. So, I don't consider myself an expert or a professional, just a researcher, someone that's interested in the phenomena.
Cool. Well, have you talked to people who've seen Bigfoot?
I've talked to people. I also emailed a few people who claimed to have seen the Sasquatch and stuff. And I've talked to people on various Bigfoot forums about their sightings and stuff. And some of them are questionable, and some of them, you know, could be real. And I never say a person is hoaxing something. I take their word for it. Sometimes I feel like a reporter. You know, you gotta just take their word for it and word of mouth and all that. It's the hoaxers that really hurt the whole thing, is because when we're trying to research a sighting, even if it's about Bigfoot, UFOs, or Loch Ness or anything, you know, it hurts the credibility of the sighting, and you know, and I don't think that UFOs and Bigfoot are connected at all. I mean, there has been sightings of Bigfoot seen near a in an exact area of a UFO, but that doesn't make it connected.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because that's how I first got introduced to it. It was a case where there was a connection where the guy saw a UFO and the next night he saw Bigfoot. And like you said, there was no direct connection other than the coincidence that they sort of happened in the same place near the same time. Which is, I don't know, how would you explain that?
The creature could have been the exact area of the UFO. I mean, there depends, like up in Pennsylvania, there's been numbers of sightings up there, and, you know, and of UFOs. And what it is, that still doesn't make it connected. I mean, what it is, Pennsylvania and maybe even all of New England has an abundance of food resources for these creatures, and they could live off like deer and different stuff.
Well, you know, another weird thing about Bigfoot that I don't understand, and maybe you can help, is, you know, there's a lot of cases where people have shot at Bigfoot, and even at close range. And as far as I know, no one's ever been able to bring one down.
Well, I think these creatures know how to survive. You know, if they see a gun, maybe they understand it. And I've gotten shot by a BB gun before, and it hurts like heck. But basically, maybe that's how it is with the Sasquatch. These creatures, maybe they have thick skin, but we don't know much about these creatures. We do, but we don't. You know, and maybe it hurt the creature and the creature ran off and stuff. And another thing, my opinion about how Hollywood treats the Sasquatch phenomena, it's good and bad. Sometimes they do good movies about Bigfoot, and then sometimes they do bad movies about Bigfoot. You know, I'm not saying that they, you know, I'm not complaining that they do. They're all good movies and stuff, like the recent one, Abominable, and the, I guess they're coming out in 1 2 weeks called Sasquatch Mountain. And, there was another one called Snow Beast, and there's a different, way different, all different kinds of movies out there about Bigfoot.
I was going to ask a question, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
I was curious, like, have you had any personal experience?
Yes, I had a possible encounter last year. It was in January, and I was looking out my window, and I saw this large, gorilla-like, human-like figure walking on the railroad tracks. And then it walked behind a snowbank and walked onto, like, a driveway, and it crouched down, and then it rose up, and then it walked to a nearby road, and it crossed the road, and then ran down the railroad tracks again. And the creature was about, I would say, about 5.5 feet tall. It had a short head, and its body was average. It had black hair all over its body, and the creature was moving way too fast to be human. And I was just amazed what I saw. I was just like, wow, it's like fascinating. I was just like, and this is why now more that I'm going to continue doing this research and stuff.
Where was this?
Oh, this was in Bristol, Connecticut.
Oh, wow. That must have been so fascinating. I mean, did you...
Yeah, Connecticut does have a good history of Sasquatch-related sightings. Like, in Ellington, Connecticut in 1982 or around there, there was a rash of sightings out there and stuff. That got me interested and stuff. And, there's some activity once in a great while up in Colebrook, Connecticut, in Winsted, that... couple of friends of mine that have an organization called Nejra, they go up there and they look for evidence and stuff, and they keep me and my friends at the ABS posted.
Do you have a lot of evidence?
I have photos of footprints that I found not recently, but like last year and stuff, and people have sent me plaster casts of footprints.
Any physical evidence, like hair?
Somebody sent me hair once, but I didn't know what to do with it. I was like, I have no place around here that I can analyze it, so I had to send it back to the person. It looked, I don't know, it looked kind of authentic, but when I, hair samples are good, but sometimes, you know, sometimes they can get pretty misidentifiable.
That's not necessarily the best evidence. You know, a lot of people think footprints are easily faked, but I heard that these Bigfoot have a foot span, or what would you call it, a walking span of about 5 feet. So it would be really hard for people to fake footprints, or at least you could tell.
Oh, yeah, Preston. The footprints I found last year in the snow, a month after my sighting, I was actually measuring the width of them, and I could barely, without ripping my pants almost, the stride was that big. I was like nearly aching. My legs were aching. And I was like, oh my God, whatever made these tracks had a good sized stride. And I mean, this was like in the winter. Nobody, you know, there was toes on these tracks and stuff. And I was just like, wowee, I was amazed, you know.
What fascinated me about your sighting was the height of Bigfoot that you saw.
You want to know the height of the creature I saw?
Yeah.
It was about, I'd say, about 5.5 feet tall, but that's kind of a lucky guess, you know, because, like I said, the sighting happened really quick. Like,
was it kind of far away?
Yeah, it was like walking really fast, and it was just an amazing sight to see. Finally, I seen one.
Was that out in the wilderness then?
What was that?
Was that out in the wilderness?
Where I saw it, well, it's kind of wooded. There's some wilderness in the area, but mostly not dense woods.
Right. Well, I asked that because there's a couple of cases, not a lot, where Bigfoot has been seen in, you know, pretty, you know, urbanized areas.
Yeah, well, I think they take the railroad tracks, and a lot of researchers kind of backed me up on this theory that they use the railroad tracks to get from state to state, and also maybe they even use, like, certain trails, like the Blue Trail and, you know, like the Appalachian Mountain areas to get to an area. And,
wow.
And there's also a lot of sightings in the Midwest and southern states, like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Falk, Arkansas. There was a rash of sightings in Arkansas and stuff, and with this creature and stuff, and they made a movie about it.
So they're, like, basically scavengers, aren't they?
What was that?
Are they scavengers, or do they go
hunting?
Well,
I think, you know, depending which state you're talking about, I mean, yeah, I mean, they to look for food, various food resources, yeah, they'll go to a state or state forest, actually, where there is an abundance of food, like out in California, Washington State, and Oregon, and the Pacific Northwest. There is loads of food that could feed these creatures and for a while and stuff. And maybe even in the southern states as well, because there's like a lot of food and stuff. And that's probably why there's a lot of sightings.
Well, my understanding, they eat pretty much anything. But there's a lot of cases where they're digging through dark garbage dumps and things like this. So.
Yeah, I've heard of sightings of these creatures trying to go through garbage dumps and stuff to look for food and stuff. And
yeah, well, I've got a list here of the most popular spots in the United States for Bigfoot, and California supposedly leads the list, then Washington, then Oregon, then Florida, Ohio, Montana, Texas, Colorado, Pennsylvania, and New York.
There's also been sightings in Mississippi, Alabama, South Dakota. Yeah, actually in South Dakota there were some recent sightings in near the Pine Ridge area. Which was seemed really interesting and stuff.
So do you think that this is a primate, just a physical flesh and blood primate?
Yeah, I think Sasquatch is a primate of some sort.
So what do you
think? It's flesh and blood. It's no paranormal thing to it.
Well, what have you heard of any reports of telepathy? People having telepathy with these things?
On the internet, I hear people talk about that, but I don't think it. I mean, what I think people are saying about telepathy is when people see the creature, they might go into like a freeze frame motion type thing where, you know, because like when I saw the creature I saw, I was like shocked and I was like freeze frame. I was like just staring at it like, oh my God, you know?
Right.
That's what I think maybe people might mean by that.
Yeah, you get kind of in an altered state of awareness when you see something unusual.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not convinced. I think there is a telepathic aspect to some of these, but it's good to see that you're skeptical. I mean, that makes it all the more believable.
You should see the Bigfoot message boards. Oh, boy, they get really political about Bigfoot sometimes. I mean, some are good, some are, well, I'm not saying bad, but, you know, they'll talk about various film footages about the creature and stuff. And
right, so that's what I was asking.
The Patterson-Gimlin film.
What do you think of the Patterson film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Patterson film is authentic. I mean, it's definitely something walking across the creek bed there and stuff. And
right. I'm convinced it's true too. I mean, I've researched the whole story pretty deeply. And that recent guy, Zoe Hieronymus.
Yeah, I've heard about him.
I don't know. I mean.
And everybody says that. Some people come out of the woodwork and say, oh, it was me and the custom. And other people say that, you know, that couldn't have been made. And I just look at it this way. That's their opinion.
Right,
and
right.
I stay away from that section of the Bigfoot forums where they talk about the film footage. I figure I go where they talk about the sightings and stuff. And they talk about all different sightings from all over the country and stuff.
You know, but speaking of the films, it's not just the Patterson film. I mean, there's like, what, there must be 30 or 40 of these films, huh?
Yeah, well, close to that. There was like the Freeman footage. There was the, I'm trying to think what other one.
I remember seeing one on hard copy.
Redwood footage.
I remember seeing one in hard copy. This was years ago. That was just so convincing. This was close up. It showed this really tall, hairy figure splashing in a creek. And it was only like maybe 50 feet away. And I never saw it again.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember hearing something about that.
And I mean, it was amazing footage.
Mm.
So one of these days, someone is going to capture footage like Bob Patterson did.
What's so incredible to me is that there are so many sightings all over the world, and there's very little, I guess, contact in terms of evidence and everything like that. That just fascinates me because that shows some measure of intelligence and stealth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think they're intelligent, Bill?
Yeah, I think they're very intelligent. They know how to survive. You know, they know how to avoid danger and stuff, and they know where to, what areas to go to, you know, protect themselves and make, you know, temporary, like a nest or something, or find a cave to sleep in or something to, from the cold or something. You know, I've heard sightings on different databases of them being seen during hurricanes and stuff, you know, or trying to run from a hurricane to, you know, protect themselves and stuff.
Right.
Huh.
Well, I think they're intelligent. I just wonder how much. This one lady I spoke with, she was called to an area where a lady had experienced a disturbance in her trash cans, you know, in the trash bin. She said a bear, some kind of bear, kept eating the trash. And so
yeah.
This lady I spoke with, she was called to the site with another police officer, and they encountered this Bigfoot eating out of the trash bin. And she said this Bigfoot turned around and looked straight at her and gave her a look that she felt it had intelligence in its eyes. And it let out a real loud roar and bounded off.
Wow.
So it was a really interesting case.
So do you get a lot of people reporting sightings on your show about Bigfoot and stuff?
So what do you think of what's the tallest case, would you say? The tallest Bigfoot you've heard of?
The tallest I think I've ever heard about Bigfoot was like maybe 9 to 10 feet tall. But there are a lot of people actually say up in Canada they're even bigger than that. But I think, see, some people might, you know, depending, like, say, especially up in Canada or, you know, up north, they might misinterpret the height of the animal because of the trees, you know, or something like that. And
yeah, it's really hard. I'm an artist. And when I sit down and talk to people and ask them to give me a description of what they've seen, I always try to ask them to compare that being with something nearby in terms of size and location. I understand, though, that there's such an illusion when you look at something, especially when you're in a state of mind where it's unusual and it's kind of weird. All
yeah, I just wanted to tell you, Preston, my friends Henry May and Sean Forker are listening to this program right now. And other researchers as well.
Oh
great. Well, if they have any comments, feel free to email us. The website or the email address is on the BBS radio website.
Yeah.
So yeah, they
can even call you guys.
Some input. But, I'm fascinated by the whole subject of Bigfoot. I mean, I keep running into more and more cases, and a lot of them do have paranormal aspects, and I'm convinced that there is some paranormal aspect to it. I'm wondering maybe if there's two types of Bigfoot.
Well, that's a few people say. I mean, if it's not paranormal, I think that there is, like, different types. I mean, the Eastern type is not that aggressive. The Midwestern type or Southern type, I hear, has a little more aggression for different reasons. And maybe the Northwest is just a regular animal. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes I hear a report of a Sasquatch being aggressive and stuff, but mostly they're gentle creatures. They just want to be left alone. They're seen every once in a great while, like I see on the BFRO database or SRI database or ABS database about various sightings and stuff.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of databases about Bigfoot that cover a lot of sightings.
Yeah, this, I mean, it's all over the web. You know, I just recently, for my book Supernatural California, I did a history of the Bigfoot sightings in California. And I think...
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that mentioned on the website.
It was really fascinating to me because the Mount Shasta area,
yeah,
that's where some of the most bizarre stories I've heard of came out of. And
these are, oh, yeah. I mean, that Mount Shasta, Mount St. Helens and stuff, and Mount Hood, and just different areas where these creatures could hide and plenty of food resources for them and stuff.
Maybe they live underground in caves or something.
Yeah.
I guess that's possible. It's just amazing to me there's that many and we still haven't found them in a, you know, a significant way. But some of the interesting cases that came out of Mount Shasta show that they're really friendly. There's one case where a guy was hiking. He had left his campsite and was hiking along and he fell off a cliff and broke his leg.
Yeah.
And the Bigfoot allegedly came up and carried him back to his campsite. And
yeah,
another guy.
I heard about that somewhere. I think in a book somewhere.
Yeah.
There's been a number of similar reports like that where Bigfoot, I think there was one where a Bigfoot tried to save a person. I guess a snake bit him or something, and a creature actually tried to suck the poison out of the man and carry him back to camp or something like that.
Right.
I mean, those are the kind of reports that I like to hear, not something where someone says, oh, yeah, I'm going to shoot one and all that because I got scared or something, or, you know. I mean, I like how Hollywood treats the Sasquatch phenomena. I mean, they do good movies and stuff, and, you know, documentaries about Bigfoot are good and stuff, you know. But sometimes you get the certain people that like the hoax society, and it's like I said before, it really hurts all the researchers who are trying to really do a good job and investigate all these sightings.
Wow. Well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our subject tonight is Bigfoot and Sasquatch, and our guest is Bill Green. And now, do you think people should hunt Bigfoot, Bill?
No. I think Bigfoot should be protected, you know, and it would be nice if one day they could have, well, I know they have ordinance law in Washington State and to protect the creature from harm and stuff. But I think they should do an ordinance law all over the country about Bigfoot, even if people don't believe it exists. I mean, this way it would satisfy the people, you know.
I was thinking, you know, it might be really bad news if someone actually did shoot one and get its body and brought it in, because then...
You know, Preston, that would only deepen the mystery.
Right.
If there was one right in front of you or me and we just looked at it, we would be still questioning, what do we have here? You know, it would deepen it.
That's what I'm afraid of, and then it would only cause a lot more people to start going out and trying
to
find
things. Yeah, more controversy.
Down. And you know, in China, this is also just recent, and happened in February, they closed down this park.
I heard about that.
The Shenzhen Nature Reserve, which they're closing for 3 months because apparently it's a well-known Bigfoot area, and the park has apparently offered a $60,000 reward for anyone who captures this. They call it the urine, Y-E-R-E-N. So,
has it been coming around often? Is that why they're
closed
the park down? Or
they closed it because they felt that the park was getting worn out by too many visitors.
Oh.
So, I don't know. It's just amazing to me. I don't think we should hunt it. But at the same time, it would be nice if we could somehow solve the mystery, get some really good footage, I guess.
Haven't people gone out and invested a tremendous amount of money and time trying to find Bigfoot?
I mean, sometimes if people are really like certain organizations and stuff like BFRO and SRI and ABS and NEDRA and other organizations that there's so many that really do put their, you know, life into basically, you know, through donations and all that to really go out and look, you know, with cameras and stuff and to look for these creatures and try to study them, you know.
Really fascinating. I mean, to think that these creatures have been around for so long, and people have seen them. I mean, there's been so many sightings. It's just fascinating to me how they can be so elusive.
Yeah.
You know, but they may be elusive, but how long does this phenomenon stretch back in history? Hundreds of years. I mean, you've known about them for centuries, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's old, old Chinese paintings.
I've been doing research about this creature for over, close to 19 years now.
Wow. So what are some of the more interesting cases you've heard of? Just some really extensive, big cases.
There's so many, Preston. Yeah, I can't really think of them. I mean, there's, like, when I go on the Bigfoot forums and stuff, they have so many, like, from Oklahoma. They have from, you know, different North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, Pine Ridge area in South Dakota had some recent sightings and stuff. And
has there ever been anybody who's developed, like, a relationship with this creature or had some, you know?
I heard reports about that, you know, in a couple of books, and where people said they claimed they fed the creature or something like that, or left food out for the creature. It could be possible, but, see, that's what you need. You need more evidence in that department. You got to, you know, if they had a proof, like a photo showing the creature or film footage showing the creature actually taking the food from some, not from another person, but from somewhere, then we'd have the evidence for that.
That's interesting.
Wow. Now, you know, I talked to one lady who lives here in Southern California, and she's had some really amazing encounters. It started out, she was dreaming, or she thought she was dreaming about Bigfoot, when she saw it walk by her window, or she woke up and saw it walk by her window.
Yeah.
And then she told her friend, her roommate, the next day. She lives in this house kind of in a forested area, in the Angeles Forest.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you know, I thought I saw the craziest thing last night. It was a Bigfoot. He turned white. He's like, you know what? I saw the same thing. And this started a crazy ordeal, which has been actually going on for years.
It has.
Her story is, I mean, it's amazing. This is one of probably the most extensive cases I've ever, you know, run across personally. But she said that after this Bigfoot kept coming around. She could smell it. It smelled like rotten eggs, sewer, and
there might be a reason for that too. Two reasons. I think there's been sightings of these creatures near garbage dumps and stuff, foraging for food, and it could be possible that they might. That's one reason why they smell, or it could be that, you know, when they're in the forest, they might skunk cabbage. They might actually, maybe that's part of their food supply to eat. You know. Various plants like that, and that could cause them to smell like that, but it could be natural body odor too.
Well, she would be glad to hear that, because that's one of the things that really scares her about it, is it's just obnoxious smell. And it's really bizarre. She said it started leaving, like, skinned animals on her doorstep. Other weird stuff. She heard this really loud clunk on the roof. Next morning, there was this giant boulder on top of the roof, like it had been set up there. And she says she feels this telepathic connection to it that's really strong. And it's trying to pull her out there to see it. And now this is where it gets really weird, and I don't know if you're going to believe me or not, but she took me on a stakeout. And we actually had some weird encounter. And I know, Christy, you too.
Yeah.
You had it first, actually. I didn't believe it at the time. I was skeptical. But you, what happened to you, Christy?
We went driving on a mountain road, and we saw two deers on the side of the road, and we drove by them. Deers didn't run away. They were two does, I think. They didn't have horns or anything. And so we drove back to check it out, and they were gone. And so she said, oh, well, I'll just go out there and call him. And she made a name for him. She called him Manitoba. And so we stood out on the side of the road, and she called him, and then we heard something running up the hill towards us, and she completely freaked out. I wanted to stay and see who was running up the hill, and grabbed me and ran in, made me go into the car and drive away, but I distinctly heard two footsteps, not four, and they were heavy. They kind of like flat-footed sound running up the hill, and she said she told me that it sounded like it was a big person, but when I heard it running up, it didn't sound big at all to me. It sounded like it was about my size, which was about 5 feet tall. That's why it fascinated me that you said.
Yeah, it sounds like a very interesting Sasquatch experience you had there.
Yeah, and she wouldn't stay. It really bothered me. I really wanted to see it.
She's having so many encounters.
Yeah.
I mean, she took me out with this other guy who had actually seen him before, and we went to this area in the Angeles Forest where she said she felt it was hanging out, where it lived. And no sooner had we got out of the car, this was late at night, you know, in the middle of the forest, really, but
yeah,
just by the side of the road, and this loud roar comes out from the valley. And not like a lion's roar. It was different. It was long. It was even. It was very low. And this thing roared three times in a row. And it just kind of freaked us out a little bit. I don't know what it was, but I feel like it was Bigfoot. It's got some ungodly roar, too. I mean, she says it would scream like a woman being murdered and run through her yard. Have you heard any of these audio recordings?
Yes, on the internet, and they seemed very interesting. One time I was playing one of the sounds, and I scared the living daylights out of my cousin's cat. You know, and it was one of those kind of, it was the Sahara sounds, I think, that I was listening to, and it was just very interesting. You know, it sounded very authentic, and, you know, but,
Have you ever talked to an expert on apes and?
Well, like I said before, there's no experts in the Bigfoot field or UFO field or anything like that. I think, but yeah, I've talked to researchers and stuff, and that have a lot of info about Sasquatch and stuff, and
yeah, supposedly it's a.
There's a lot of people who do newsletters about Bigfoot as well. I used to do a newsletter called The Bigfoot Record. It came out once a year. It was free. I no longer do it because it cost me too much money. But there's other newsletters out there. For example, there's one called The Track Record. It's published by Ray Crow from the International Bigfoot Society. And that's how people, there's blogs about Bigfoot and stuff.
I'd like to hear a recording of Bigfoot.
Yeah,
that would be really interesting.
It's pretty spooky. I've heard some of them, and it's scary.
Does it sound like an ape?
You know, maybe like some of the howler monkeys or something, really.
Yeah,
high.
Sound like that. You know, I mean,
I don't know.
Because that would kind of tell you what its voice box is like and what its skull was like, you know what I mean? In the way that it makes it sound.
Well, they're pretty loud. I know that. It's a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
Do you suppose, like, the Yeti and all of these things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard too many sightings of the Yeti recently, but there were some sightings up in Malaysia, but I guess, I don't know, there was a big controversy on the internet about it, and people are still looking for it up there or something like that.
Well, have you investigated other cases personally where you've gone out and talked to people who've seen these things?
When I go out in the woods, Preston, I go by myself. I feel it's better to go out, you know, with a camera and just look around. Sometimes you find possible evidence, and sometimes you don't. And it's, you know, it's just fun to go in the woods just to look for possible evidence. And you know, a lot of organizations do go out with a lot of people, you know, to look for these creatures, like I said before, and you know, and sometimes they say they find all sorts of evidence all the time, or they find little evidence, and, you know, and you get the B.D. Barnums that say they see Bigfoot all the time, and this, that. But, you know, I have nothing against people like that. I just figure, you know, that's what they like to do, you know.
Right. Well, just some amazing evidence is coming out more and more. I mean, I just recently saw a program on TV. I wish I could remember where this took place, but these two gentlemen saw Bigfoot, and they decided to return later with a film crew. And sure enough, something showed up, and it started throwing rocks at the campsite, and I mean, they caught this on film.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Make other cases where, you know, people, where it's been caught with, you know, live. I remember that happened with another stakeout. A lot of people have done really successful Bigfoot stakeouts. It's amazing.
Well, they must know how to track, you know what I mean? Like you're a hunter and you go out and you follow the trail or wherever they possibly could be traveling.
I also can't understand why no one's found bones or anything like this. Well, maybe they're just covered up. I've heard of people finding giant bones, come to think of it.
Yeah,
times.
There's been I've heard of that too, where people would find bones in the woods and stuff, and I think these creatures bury their dead, or maybe other wildlife might even eat the creatures after they died, because that's what all wildlife does in the forest. They either eat it or insects eat it, and that's why probably people don't find bones. And if you do find a bone, it's like sometimes either, you know, maybe people are afraid that it's a strange animal, they don't want to touch it or something.
Well, you know, for people who are skeptical, you know, if they actually check out how population in the United States is situated, most of the area is wilderness.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible these creatures have been living among us. I mean, obviously, that is the case. I mean, I think the evidence is conclusive, pretty much. A lot of it is circumstantial, but...
Well, it's so hard to, like, get your camera on the spur of the moment when Bigfoot walks across your backyard, you know? You're just not prepared for it at that moment.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. So, you know, it's like sometimes I think, you know, Bigfoot or Sasquatch could just find people and people don't find the Sasquatch, you know? It's just sometimes it's just like a, you know, sheer luck when people see it, you know?
Yeah, I would say 50% of the cases here in California occur for people who are driving through Northern California in where the redwoods are.
Mostly around near Bluff Creek or Willow Creek area.
Right, and a big
or other Trinity. The different redwood area and stuff.
And all that their encounter pretty much consists of a Bigfoot running across the road in front of them.
Yeah.
And that's so common. I think maybe what I find fascinating about the fact that this area is the number one Bigfoot area in the world, supposedly according to Lauren Coleman and others,
yeah,
is that the redwoods, the trees here, are the biggest in the world.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of the redwood areas, California and stuff.
Right, so I mean a Bigfoot.
There's a blog called Cryptomundo that has a lot of information about Bigfoot. And it's just Lauren Coleman's a part of that, actually. And it's just like every day there's something new about Bigfoot on the net and stuff. And I see it in the chat rooms about Bigfoot or UFOs even. Sometimes I bring it up and I go on Pal Talk or something. People say, oh, wow, you know, you must do research about Bigfoot. And I'm like, yep. And they start talking about it and stuff. And they get interested.
So there are a lot of resources that people can go to.
Oh, yeah, all over the country, there's a lot of researchers.
What would you say is, like, the best organization or, you know, the biggest?
Well, there's a lot, like I said, Preston, there's a lot. There's the BFRO and...
What does that stand for?
What was that?
That's the Bigfoot Research Organization?
Yeah. And then there's the American Bigfoot Society, which is based out in Pennsylvania, that I'm a member of. And there's also SRI, and then there's NESRA, PBS, Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society. I mean, there's just so many. They go, you know, you can look online and stuff and see so many different Bigfoot websites and stuff that, you know.
I wonder how long does Bigfoot live?
Nobody really knows. I mean, how long these creatures live. They can live just as long as we do, maybe, or shorter. Who knows?
Right.
Without the body and without the creature themselves, you can't really solve speculation.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's one case that occurred here in San Fernando Valley in 1984 where a Bigfoot ran across the road. But what fascinates me about the case is that it's in a very urban area. There's so many cases of Bigfoot running through the town of Lancaster. People see him running down the street.
Wow.
And it's a desert town, which is true.
Yeah.
But these Bigfoot don't seem to be afraid of people at all.
No. I mean, there's been cases where these creatures have been seen near towns. And the reason is sometimes it could be because of the weather or some other reason. Or a lot of times people try to bulldoze their forest land and they have to move to different states or something. And, of course, they're going to be seen more, you know.
Right. I think there was one case in Mount Shasta again where a group of people were playing volleyball. And this Bigfoot just comes right out and walks right across, not in through the game, but right, you know, next to it. And everyone turned and looked at it, and it just kept walking, paid no attention to anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this other case is true, but these two campers reported that a Bigfoot came out of the forest, walked up to them, and handed them this quartz crystal, which is bizarre. I mean, there's a whole lot of really bizarre claims with Bigfoot that people make. So I don't know what to whether to believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, that's everybody's opinion, you know. Some people believe in it, some people don't believe in it.
Well, personal experience is like the best thing of all. That's like the best.
Boy, after my encounter, I was just jumping and hopping for a week. I was telling everyone. No one really believed me.
So Preston, you're thinking about writing a book about Bigfoot?
I'm definitely kicking the idea around. Definitely. I think it's a fascinating subject.
Yeah, because when I used to do my newsletter called The Bigfoot Record, I know I got two of your UFO books. I forgot the names of them, but I have somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to cover every aspect of the paranormal eventually.
Yeah, and, you know, your books are really interesting and stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I just love all these subjects, and Bigfoot is one of those things that I wonder if it's paranormal or not. I mean, one of these days we might just bring in a Bigfoot and then the whole mystery will be ended.
Yeah.
It's going to take, like you said, more than one Bigfoot.
So did anybody email the show tonight about this interview?
Excuse me?
Did anybody email the show tonight about this interview?
I actually can't check it at this point. I'll have to check it after the show.
Oh, okay.
But
well, I drew some pictures, and I think they're on my website, kisaraart.com. And if anybody's interested in looking and seeing, and maybe making some comments if I made a mistake or something about drawing Bigfoot, but it just fascinates me the whole stature of the creature and the way it moves and the stride and the way it's so elusive, and it almost gives me an idea that it's you know, it's an animal and it lives in the wild.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it seems to have some kind of code of ethic to where it keeps very private and it doesn't expose itself. It doesn't leave any evidence of its of itself, and it's really quite fascinating to me because that shows intelligence.
Definitely.
And I think that it's wonderful that you go out into Kentucky, right? And
Connecticut.
Look around and
There's been sightings
be
in Kentucky.
No, Connecticut.
Illinois
and all that.
Uh-huh.
Arkansas. I mean, all over the United States, basically. Never in Hawaii. I never heard of anything happening in Hawaii, though.
Delaware supposedly never had one either.
Yeah, in New York and upstate New York, up in Albany, there was had a good amount of sightings once in a great while and stuff.
That's really strange. Not in Hawaii, huh?
Well, they don't have a lot of large animals.
Well, they have the mini hoonies.
They don't have bear.
The little tiny things. Little
right. Things. That's true. They do have that.
Yeah.
So, Bill, do you still run a website or anything like that about this?
Well, actually, my friend Sean Forker has a website called the American Bigfoot Society. I can't think of the website offhand, but he's listening to us on the chat room right now. And my other friend Henry May has a website about Bigfoot as well.
Cool. Well, if anyone out there is listening who's had a Bigfoot encounter,
yeah, I mean, maybe he'll email you. They can email you their website, and you can put it in your website and stuff.
Right. Definitely.
Or they could call you and give you the website or something.
Right. We have to get this information out there. So, yeah, if anyone out there has seen Bigfoot, please email us.
And I'd be happy to illustrate the image.
Yeah, it would be nice to get an actual forensic sort of a. You know, like you do, Christy, with the E.T.
Yeah.
Witnesses.
Or like a little police sketch kind of thing.
Yeah, Christy's often sat with people who've seen E.T.s, alleged E.T.s, I should say, and draws them exactly as his witnesses described. So that would be really amazing to do with a series of Bigfoot witnesses.
I would really enjoy doing that because I really haven't had a chance to sit down and talk to somebody who's really seen Bigfoot. The only thing that I go by is like what descriptions they give on television, basically, and some of the video footage and stuff. But it seems to vary, you know? They're like people. They're not all the same looking creature.
Okay. Yeah, they just showed me, it's the name of their blog is www.AmericanBigfootSociety.com.
Okay, www.AmericanBigfootSociety.com.
Yeah.
So people can go there to check out more information about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Great.
They can report sightings or send information to us and stuff. And
great. So I think a lot of people don't know who to tell. You know,
exactly, because like I said, there's like our online organization, and then there's so many, Preston. I could say pathetic, but it goes on and on.
Right. Well, it's good at least that we have the internet so people can get some information. I mean, before, who are you going to call? The police? You know?
Yeah, sometimes you can call the police. They look at you probably like, you know, what did you see now, sir? You know, like, you know.
Right. On the other hand, I think that there's quite a number of police Bigfoot encounters out there.
You know, I think our government might even know about the Sasquatch, but I feel they probably feel the creature's not a threat to our security or anything like that. They probably see it as a strange or odd wildlife. And, you know, I'm sure.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that. With their resources, they probably do know about Bigfoot, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do. I mean, it's like UFOs. But, I feel that they definitely.
Well, you know, I don't think anyone's actually put a real concerted effort into locating one of these things with, like, infrared cameras and, you know, numerous planes and all of this, like a tactical military operation. Hopefully that won't happen. I don't want to put any ideas into people's heads.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But so how many Bigfoot would you say What's the population? Just an estimate.
That's a question. Basically, there's a lot. I hear from different researchers over there. There's a lot of them. They say maybe over, I don't know, 5,000 or 10,000, whatever. But it basically, that's an understatement.
Right. Well, it would have to be if it's a worldwide thing.
And I wonder if it is worldwide, if there's like subspecies and different category of species, you know, within each country.
Or intermating stuff.
Yeah.
Then again, people look different wherever you go. They're short and tall. So that could be the same species.
Uh-huh.
There's just so much we don't know about this. It's just,
yeah, no, definitely.
It blows my mind. Well, we're approaching the end of the hour. Is there, what would you tell people, you know, who have an encounter? What should they do?
Well,
how
basically,
to
report an encounter, they could go to, you know, radio station shows like yours, or go to, you know, to the website I just said, or something. There's various stuff, various websites about Bigfoot organizations they could go to report sightings and stuff.
Well, I mean, when they actually see a Bigfoot, say you're walking along the path in the forest and suddenly a Bigfoot stands in front of you, what should you do?
What would I do?
What would you do? What should anyone do?
Well, I mean, they would basically, you know, probably report the sighting, or unless they felt like they were being ridiculed and stuff.
Right.
Would you approach it, or would you just sit there and look at it?
I probably would take a picture of it if I had my camera.
You
know, I mean, I'd
that's
definitely
what I
do.
That.
Well, I carry a camera with me.
Yeah.
So just in case I see a ghost or a UFO or a Bigfoot or
that's it.
God
knows
what else.
Yeah.
Photos aren't the best evidence, though. They really aren't. You need the witness testimony along with the footprints, along with the photo evidence. You need a case like that, which really has, you know, the hair, the footprints, the photo evidence, and all everything.
Oh, yeah, there's always new evidence coming out every year and stuff, or sightings, or movies about Bigfoot, and documentaries.
Right. I just heard about a sighting where a bunch of police officers saw a Bigfoot. So there's a lot of really credible witnesses out there. I think people don't realize that.
Has any of the societies actually tried to get together with everybody and put together all the evidence, or are they very jealous about?
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah, on the Bigfoot forums, there's a lot of people like that. Yeah, they have their time.
You know what? Our time is up, Bill Green. I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And I'll have to say goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
But
and I hope we can do this again soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. Our guest was Bill Green, and next week's episode is going to be an interview with Bill Foster, author of The Black Triangle Abduction. So I hope you can all join us. Thank you.